Hey, how are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. It's the weekend. That means it's mentor moment time. And today, this is an episode I've been looking forward to putting out for a long time. It's with Connor Murphy, and I'm delighted to resurface this. We didn't do this very long ago, but it's such a popular episode, I had to re-release it again. My most requested topic that people want me to do a special episode on is failure. But it's inherently difficult to do because people don't really want to talk about it. And then when they do want to talk about it is when they've made it, when they've reached the top of the mountain and looking back, everything makes sense and everything has a beautiful rosy tint. Connor is one of the few people that's ever sat down in front of me and been brutally honest about what it means to fail, the actual lessons you can learn, and how he'll use that failure to supercharge and to develop a brand new incredible idea called Bridge. Over the next 10 minutes, you're going to get a masterclass on what it is to fail, to learn, and to bounce back. This is your mentor moment with Connor Murphy, the founder of Bridge. Today's episode is presented in association with Square. Over 4 million companies, from local shops to international chains, use Square to take payments, manage staff, and do business in-store and online. For almost everything your business needs, visit square.com. Square International Limited, trading as Square, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. I've got a massive ambition for this podcast. I want to make this the number one business podcast in the world. If I'm going to do that, I've got to be world-class on every single level. And that includes having a world-class studio, which I now have at iconic offices, The Green Room. It's an incredible space. I first recorded here with my live pod back in June and I loved it. And get this, it's publicly bookable. That means you can go online and book it right now. As I said, it's called The Green Room. It's a private cinema and screening room. That means it's perfect to wow a client with a pitch, host a private screening, or do what I do, record a podcast here. So, as I record here, and as you know, I'm a member of Iconic Offices, I've got the team at Iconic Offices to hook us up with a number of exclusive complimentary office trials and discounts for my audience for booking this exact space. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description, grab the offer that works best for you. Thanks, Iconic Offices. The Wealth Summit is on the RDS on November 15th. It's for entrepreneurs, business owners, and those that aspire to be. If you're at the startup, scale-up, or sell-up stage of the entrepreneurial journey, then the Wealth Summit is for you. Learn how to build personal and business balance sheets through business growth strategies and build out critical paths to financial independence. Join Stephen Bartlett, Niall Quinn, Mandy Hickson, Tom Gannon, and 30 other speakers for a day of empowerment, motivation, education, growth, and networking. And we have an exclusive offer for listeners of the pod. For €150 plus VAT, you're going to get a discounted Access All Areas ticket, which also gives you access to the Wealth Tribe lunch, and it gives you a free masterclass on November 16th on how you can actually implement AI into your business. It doesn't even end there. The first 10 people to sign up by September 15th will get a ticket to the 10X Growth Camp in Lutterstone Castle on September 29th, where you'll deep dive into business growth strategies, financial growth strategies, and AI implementation for growth. So click the link below to avail of this incredible offer.
And I think there was that quote, I think from the inventor of DNA, where his quote was, you know, avoid boring people. And that's kind of a double entendre. Like, I personally don't want to be boring you, but I also want to avoid someone who's boring and isn't interesting and isn't, can't teach me something or expose me some new ideas. And I might not always agree with it, mightn't like it, mightn't understand it, but it's definitely fascinating. And I think that randomness is where you get a lot of serendipity, a lot of stimulation, a lot of creativity, and a lot of ideas.
Is this where your ideas come from?
I think so. But if I look back, like on my career, there's kind of two parts of my career. One where I'm helping other people with their ideas, which is fascinating. And then you kind of really understand what their motivation is. And that can really inspire me to want to help them. And then the second is kind of, I've only had one idea, really, I think, that I've been kind of rehashing over and over again. So when people say a serial entrepreneur, I would say, I only have one potentially good idea and I just keep having different goes at it. So I think I have one thing I'm really interested in and I think I'm good at. And then apart from not very interested in finding out what motivates other people, what the problem that they care about is, And they're probably, again, all going back to curiosity and finding interesting things.
I always think of that. It's a meme on the internet where the two guys are digging in the tunnel and one guy is like digging along and he's just giving up and the pickaxe is over his shoulder. And the other guy is digging down below and he's like this far away from the diamonds. And all that's going to make him get it is just his persistence. And we talked about this over lunch. That dogged persistence. You've got the dog in you not to give up. And you say there, you've only got one idea, but I think that's the difference between great entrepreneurs and good entrepreneurs. The great ones are the ones that go, yeah, this didn't work, but I know it's going to work in another way. So I'm going to try this other way.
Yeah, I think, you know, the definition of failure in my book is blaming other people as well, you know? So we'll encounter a lot of failure along the way, a lot of struggle along the way, and it's very easy. And I definitely have done this, particularly 2-3 o'clock in the morning with a glass of whiskey. Like I'll blame everyone and every other thing under the sun for why something didn't work. But ultimately, the only thing you can correct next time is what did you do wrong, or what did you not prepare well enough for, or what did you get wrong? So I think that definition has really helped me turn every failure into a positive, and there's been a lot. Because then you can just obsess and focus on what would I have done differently in those situations, not what would Gary have done differently, what would have someone else have done differently, or the market, all these things out of your control, but just focus on things you can control and try and improve that next time. And I'm lucky that I'm in a position where I can try that again with an idea that I've basically been obsessing about for 15 years now at this point.
You know? How do you deal with failure?
Well, at the time, it's not fun. And I think, you know, there's a great book, Zero to One, Peter Thiel, and he talks about kind of like, what he kind of says, smart people are always trying to like reverse engineer the exam, and we don't want to fail, and we're all doing very well in school, and we're all trying to figure out what's coming up in the exam, and we're all working towards that. So I think I probably came up in that system in kind of school, and you don't want to fail, and I'd find it very upsetting if I failed, and it was a huge motivator for me to do well in school and stuff. And then when you're going to hit that in the business world, it can be two ways. I think when you kind of fail on other projects where it's not your ego involved, it's pretty okay. It's pretty logical. I think particularly first-time founders, when it's your first startup, it also becomes your identity. And I think it's actually the identity and the failure of that, and the failure of your ego, and the crushing failure of that, because you see everything through the lens of your company failing, you see you failing as well, and the two then become one. And the ego can be, you know, it can be your worst enemy, but it can also be a big motivator and driver that actually gives you the energy to kind of succeed. So it's a double-edged sword. And again, learning how to separate those two over time. And then it just literally takes time. It's literally like a breakup. Like when you have that failure, like you're separating from that, and it's kind of heartbreak and it's emotional. But you realize with distance of time that actually then you can focus on actually the things you can change next time. And, you know, it literally is like heartbreak. And, you know, it's like, you know, you might get dumped or you might lose out in relationships in the past, but they make your next relationship stronger and better, I think, you know.
It's a beautiful analogy and beautiful way of looking at it. And it's true. When it's your first time, especially if there's a lot of hype around it, it does become your identity.
Yeah, massively. And like you have to create something out of nothing. You know what I mean? So you have to put everything into it and leverage every piece of your network and every piece of your identity. And you become a spokesperson for it, an evangelist for it. You have to will it into existence. But then there's a lot of things that isn't enough in its own, but it's a big part of it. And I see it with entrepreneurs. I've been lucky to mentor and invest and work with a lot of our entrepreneurs. And they become almost like therapists for myself, because you can kind of see them making the same mistakes you've made. And it just makes you a more empathetic investor. But it also allows you to just look at that mirror and go, like, what would I do differently next time? And I think I'm making a whole new set of mistakes this time. I don't know what they are yet. But over time...
But there's beauty in that, though. You keep making them. It's not when you see them. I think the killer is when you make them and you're like, ooh, you pull your hand back from the fire and you're like, never going to near that fire again.
Yeah, but again, it's like love. Like at the time, you know, when your heart's broken, you don't necessarily want to get back into relationships straight away. But then time, you focus on the positives, you forget the pain, and you want to go again.
Empathy is huge. And it's something, because you meet a lot of first-time founders, and so do I, through various things. Literally, sometimes you can tell them, but they'll not listen to you. And sometimes you really do have to go through something to be able to understand it. And often it's something very bad.
Yeah.
It's very hard to tell someone, this is how it's going to be. And they're like, no, because it goes back to the thing of their identity. I'm different. And you have to feel that way as a founder, because you have to feel, no, this solution has never been done before.
It's a contact sport. You kind of have to learn by doing, and humans are amazing learning machines. And, you know, I have 3 young kids, and you just see them are like, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Bang, they do it, you know, and then they learn not to do it. So there's a certain point where I think telling people not to do something doesn't work. I think telling them stories about how you've been in that scenario. And like one of the things I loved about Techstars was our focus on mentorship. And actually a lot of people don't know how to be mentors and they don't necessarily know how to frame giving feedback to people. But I think it's very important when you give feedback to someone on an idea that you kind of quantify it in a sense like this is a scenario that happened to me where I did this and this is what happened to me.
Exactly.
Whereas a lot of time you'll kind of get people during the mentorship scenario, they're like, oh, I have to give an opinion. And they give an opinion, but they don't couch it in the fact that they never experienced that pain. They never experienced that problem. And they have this like instant reaction. And founders can be very impressionable as well to that as well. So you also need to have that stubbornness where you're like, you know, you're going to get a lot of feedback. You have to ignore most of it. And the skill is trying to figure out the bits that you filter out. But I think also the mentors need to be very careful when you're giving advice in these podcasts, when you're talking to other people, that you can frame it from your story and what you physically or mentally experienced rather than what you think or what you heard from someone else.
So I can read the book myself.
Yeah.
I can figure out that. I can distill down the 10 lessons from the book. I think you've just hit the exact nail on the head. And the problem with a lot of these kind of like mentorship schemes and things like that, there are people in there giving advice who often have never had a business. That's a real bugbear of mine. The coaches and the advisors. I'm like, because like you said, it can be fatal for a startup founder to listen to someone. They're impressionable. They put you on a pedestal going, okay, well, he must know what he's talking about because he's an advisor. And then they pivot and then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The advisor's on to someone else in 6 months' time. And often I think I ask people, do you want a mentor or do you want accountability? Because people think mentors are going to be the solution to all the problems.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's just to do the work.
Yeah. You can get obsessed with mentorship and meeting people, putting people on a pedestal. I know I at the start I was, well, you know, but if you get the right mentor, it's a game changer. You know what I mean?
That's the thing, right? So it really is difficult. People come to me all the time going, you know lots of people, who should be my mentor? And I'm like, I have no idea. Who do you want to be your mentor?
Yeah.
Go to the best person in your industry and approach them.
And it changes over time. Like, well, what problem do you specifically want to talk about? So that goes back to the curiosity. So we all think there's this magical person who's going to help us unlock something. And as you said, we have to do that work. But a mentor can help open the doors, tell you about doors you didn't even know existed, ask you to double check a door you totally dismissed in the past kind of thing. So it's more like that guide character. And you know, like those famous movies, you kind of like the story arc, you meet the gray beard and then they kind of become your mentor and they guide you out. And that's every Lord of the Rings version or movie since. And when you find
the hero's journey, it's the perfect narrative arc because it's all this time.
And we're all looking for that. We're all looking for that shortcut as well. It goes back to Peter Thiel's 0 to 1. You're going up that exam world, you're like, okay, what's coming up? I'm doing my medicine exams. Is the left arm coming up or the right leg coming up? And like literally they're like, oh, it's right leg. So nobody's, that's just oversimplification, but they're just going to focus on that part of the curriculum. And we're all looking for those shortcuts and we're looking for those insights. And we think those magical mentors are going to do that. And they're often not, but they might help us find some shortcuts. But there ultimately is no shortcuts. It's just finding the more correct path sooner is what you're really trying to find.
You're right, though, about the right person at the right time. The same with books. People say, oh, what book should I read? I'm like, well, where are you in life? What's the stage? What are you trying to solve for? Are you just trying to read for fun? Do you want to read to solve a specific problem?
So luck is a big part of it. But serendipity is something I truly believe in as well. But, you know, and how you can kind of like increase your odds of serendipity is what I would look at, or increase your odds of finding the right mentor. Like it's all about optimizing for that.
I really hope you enjoyed that chat with Connor. It's just a brief taster of what is an unbelievably good episode. Go back to episode 213, search Connor Murphy, Gary Fox, The Entrepreneur Experiment. You'll find it. It's pretty easy to find. And it is a podcast worth listening to again and again. I'll see you back here in a couple of days. This week, we hit episode 300 and we have a very special episode. I'll see you back here in a couple of days.